don't know why you're here this morning for sure. I don't know if you're here because you were forced into the car and driven here and dropped off and said, go in there. So I don't know. Really wanted to come? I don't know. But I'll tell you, I am absolutely delighted to have you here and have the opportunity to be with you here a little bit this morning. We're going to be talking about some things that are, well, foundational. That's what the foundations for life. And they're basic things. They're simple things. They're not so many things that you get, not necessarily things that you get excited about, necessarily, but they're absolutely vital. All right, so what I'd like to start off by looking at, let me see, I am quite concerned about the whole presentation like this because I don't do this very often, but I won't make any excuses. If I make mistakes, it's my mistake. I want you to take a look at that building, and I'm going to show you another picture. Just look at that one, and then, hey, help me. I really need you to talk back to me when I talk. And when I talk to you, I'd like you to talk back to me sometimes when I ask you to. Not just talk back like you, mom, like you want to talk back to your mom and dad sometimes, but like, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so take a look at that building. Can you hear well enough? Can you hear? Huh? No, sorry. I didn't want that kind of back talk, no. So take a look at this building, and then take a look at this building, and tell me the differences that you observe. So this is where you need to talk back. I don't know names, but I can learn names, and I can call names if I need to, if it's necessary. Wood says what? Rock, okay, wood versus rock. Good observation. Anything else? Okay, one is a place of safety, one is not a place of safety. All right, anything else? The condition, did you notice the condition? I mean, one's in good repair. This one is very old. This one is built in the, like, in the 1100s, I believe. I think it's in the 12th century sometime, this one was built. This one was built much later. I don't know, it might be 200 or 300 years old, maybe. But this one is in bad condition compared to this one. I know there's lots of reasons for that. But do you think that foundation have it? Let me show you another picture. Two men. And many of you know these men. How many of you do know them? Some of you do. Many of you don't because they've been gone for quite a while. One of them, I know both of them. One of them I know better than the other one. One of them spanked me pretty often and the other one baptized me. So I love them. Then we have this picture. I don't know these men. But the one of them that has a green mark because I didn't want his belly button to show, but the other, there's two men, and you can see what's going on with them. There are two men, they're together. And these two men are helping each other. They're walking, they're old, they've lived a long time. They're in their 90s, they're very close to 90. I think that was a for the brother Dan Byler on the left there passed away. I think it was that, it may have been that same year or it was within a year, and then my father passed away some years after that, a few years after that. But there's two old men and two old men. Do you think it has, this is the point, do you think it has something to do with foundations, with what happened very early on? I want to show you another picture. You recognize that. How many of you have been up to the top of that? All right, how many of you were scared? Nobody. Okay. It's an exciting place to be. Do you recognize this? This is the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge was in the news of just a few weeks ago you know why it was. Do you recognize? All right. Those don't exist anymore, but you know what they were. And do you recognize this? That's the current tallest building in the world over in Dubai. It's called the Burj Khalifa. So I'm showing these pictures because one reason. Found the St. Louis Arch is as old as me, by the way. It's 1965. That's the St. Louis was built in 1965 when they built the foundation. Now, I was already warned that when we start talking about foundations, the girls are going to tune out. Just hang with us just a little bit. They're not interested in construction. But so when they built the St. Louis Arch beside the Mississippi River, that river soil there is kind of soft. They had to go down 60 feet down the ground to find bedrock where they built the foundations on top of that. This Brooklyn Bridge was built in the 1800s, very soon after the Civil War. This bridge was built, and they didn't have the technology then that they do today, but they still went way, way down. I can't remember. Let me see. Maybe I have it here somewhere. They went down 44 feet through the bottom of the river, down the bottom of the river, with 44 feet down to build their, and they put their caissons down there and they cast their concrete. It was dangerous work, but they knew that they needed to do that, and that bridge is still standing. As that was built soon after the Civil War is here. They were around the same time as the St. Louis Arch. They, again, built on land that was actually reclaimed from the Hudson River. The Hudson River was there first. They filled it up with soil, and then they built the Twin Towers on that. Now, that was interesting. Particularly interesting about that to me was it went down 70 feet. But with the river right next door, how are you going to go down 70 feet with the river right next there? So they built what they called a bathtub, like 70 feet deep, 3 feet, the walls are 3 feet thick, and it kept the river out while they worked inside there. This one here has foundations going down to, like 5 foot pillars, 192 of them. 5 foot in diameter going down 150 feet. And on top of that, they have what they call a raft, 12 foot thick over that whole area. It covers like 8,000 square meters. It's enormous. But the foundations, what are we saying is? We're saying that the foundations are super important. Now, what we've looked at these buildings and we've discovered some pretty impressions. They really are. Girl or not, or boy or girl or both, you should be impressed with that. If you're not impressed, you should be impressed with those kind of structures, because they're important. You are building a building too. You are building a building, and your foundation is important. Your life is a building, and your foundation is important. What are you building on? For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we should have been able to conclude some things as we looked at some of these pictures. We should be able to conclude that foundations matter. Foundations are not seen. We didn't see the foundation of any of these buildings. Foundations are expensive. 12,000 yards of concrete is expensive. See the foundation, say, wow, or what a impressive foundation is here. You don't see that. So it doesn't add to the physical attractiveness necessarily of a person or of a building. I worked, but without foundations, things aren't go well. I work place where the owners of the building built a massive, it wasn't anything like this, but it was huge. It was big, a big showroom for cars. And they built it. It was all glass all the way around, nice big steel building, and looked really nice. Tile floor, a huge showroom that all had tile floor, nice offices. It was beautiful, but the problem was, if you walk in there today, you walk in the door and you immediately start to head downhill. The perimeter foundation held up fairly well, but the floor didn't have anything under it, just enough under it. So you start walking downhill and the whole floor just sags. What a beautiful building from the outside, and you walk in and you see all these things, these kind of things happening. So there's the foundations, You know, you don't see them, but you sure see them when you don't have them. You sure see when you don't have them. We have 4 points we want to look at for foundations. But before we do that, just want to remind you again of what happens with foundations, what can happen when you have a decent foundation, when you have a good foundation, the foundation that's built on Jesus Christ. So I have a few pictures that I'll show you. So when you have a foundation, you can have sons and daughters. I'm not just saying that if you do this, you'll have this, but this is a foundation's built on the right thing. And I'm not saying that this is the only man that did that by any means. I've been happy to you others. I don't have access to the evidence quite in the same way that I wanted to show you. So you have sons, and those aren't all the sons maybe, but there's a few missing. You have sons and daughters. You have grandchildren. You have great-grandchildren. You have the fourth generation, and you have the fifth generation. And you have friends, and you have more friends, and you have best friends. Or you can have this, and this, and this, and this. It's kind of up to you. And whether you actually, where you end up there has a lot to do with the decisions you are making now and will continue to make. So foundation number one, or the first thing we're looking at, is fear the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The question is so basic and so misunderstood. Either we have the, Israel and Mount type of fear of the Lord, yes. When God appeared on Mount Sinai, Israel trembled and backed away. And as soon as God disappeared from Mount Sinai, what did they do? They built an altar to a golden calf. They built a golden calf and worshipped it. That concept of God, that he's fearful, we're afraid of him. Are that he's just there, he's ready to punish us the minute we step out of line, but when he's out of sight, he's out of mind. And then we have, well, that's just not a healthy fear. That's not the real fear of God, is it? The real fear of God is, so God could appear to us like he did at Mount Sinai. There was nobody doubted his existence. There was nobody that would have willingly disobeyed God when he was showing himself in that way. No way. But when he disappeared, when they couldn't see him anymore, then they did what they did. The true fear of God takes some faith. It's recognizing and knowing that God is here. It's sensing his presence, it's knowing he is here and knowing that we accountable to him whether we see him or not. The Bible doesn't say exactly what the fear of the Lord is. It says what the fear of the Lord does. Well, it does say the fear of the Lord is clean or pure, and it endures forever. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, it says. The years of the wicked shorten. The fear of the Lord will teach us to be wise, it says in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job says the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So what comes to your mind when you think of the fear of God? So it's a foundation, it's part of who we become. What comes to your mind? Like I said, it takes faith. So God doesn't invade our space, but he does want us to invite him into our space. He's not going to just force himself upon us, but he wants us to invite him there. He could, like I said, he could force himself upon us. He could show himself to us so powerfully that we couldn't resist him. But he will someday. We can invite God to be in our space now, or we can wait. But for now, he waits to be recognized voluntarily. So the fear of God is to give God the proper place in our lives as creator and absolute authority, keeping in mind that he will have the final word. Fear of God is recognizing that our will must bend to his. We don't bend his will to ours. The fear of God is to be in awe of God, to have utmost reverence and respect. You know, God doesn't call himself Father for nothing. If you think of the perfect Father, that's God. The perfect Father, the Father that he has patience with his children. He loves his children. He talks with his children. He acknowledges that they're children, that they're not grown up like he is. Respect him. And why? Because when he says no, when he says yes, he means yes. When he says do something, if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences that aren't that nice. That's the perfect Father. There is, and God is that he is that. And so to be in awe of God and not be afraid of God, and to be conscious of him. The Bible also says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So that fear of God, or that recognition of God is there in heaven. He is over all. We are here. He's the creator. We are the created one. Anybody that has done anything successfully, whether they're Christians or not Christians, has recognized that there is something greater than they are, and they work within that framework. They have to be willing to work within the framework of the principles that God has established. The Bible also says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's part of the fear of God. All right. Think right about authority. Ephesians chapter. All right, let's do it like this. Who are we supposed to obey? Who is supposed to obey who? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, that was your parents' favorite verse to you when you were little. What is it? I know you can say. Somebody on the girls' side. Somebody on the girls' side with an orange dress in the front row. I'm sorry? Children obey your parents. That was simple, wasn't it? That was simple. Children obey your parents. Who obeys who? Children obey parents. Acts 3, verse 22. Who obeys who in that one? Boys. You can use your Bibles. Servants obey your masters. So if you're an employee, you obey the boss. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Who are we supposed to obey? Let's give the girls a chance again. Did somebody say something? Sorry. Oh, I am so sorry. Go ahead. Thank you. So who is it? Who is he talking to? I'm sorry. So it's talking specifically to the church. So it's saying, and I can say this because none of you go to my church, so I can say it with absolutely I don't care. The Bible says that you're supposed to obey those that are yours. What is that? It says, obey them that have the rule over you in other places. Other translations, it simply says, your pastors. Very simple. So, children, obey your parents. Church members, pay attention to your pastors. Listen to what they say. Children, employees, obey your boss. Listen to what he, obey him. Do what he says. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, who obeys who there? Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't hear. No, it's not my fault. It's the accusative. Okay, and every soul is subject to tax. Who's he talking to? Every soul. Huh? Every soul. You. All right. So who are the higher powers? In the context there, you know the context, Romans 13? Who are the higher powers that he's talking about? Civil authorities. Thank you. Forgive my ears. So he's talking about civil, everyone obeying the civil authorities. The only exception, if God says this, the authority says this, well, you know who to obey. But otherwise, you obey them. If they say wear a mask, you should probably wear a mask. That's what it says. All right. So when God, through his word, tells us to obey our authorities, he is obviously not telling us to obey what is already written in the Bible. Isn't that true? When he says, children, obey your parents, the children don't go to the Bible and say, nowhere in here does it say I have to do dishes. No. You obey your parents. Your parents tell you what to do. And that's the way it is, straight across your authority. You don't say, no, it doesn't say you have to do this. That's why the Bible says, obey your teachers or your parents or whatever. All right, so we're parents and authorities. That's the nature of authority, is government leaders, teachers, church leaders, parents, employers. They've all been given the power to impose certain consequences when there's disobedience. We're talking about foundation. We're talking about thinking right about authority. We're not talking about something that you might like. It's the way it is. So we're not resistant to authority, and some more than others. Isn't that right? Some more than others. You know, you know who you are. All right. So you know who you are if you're one of those that's extra resistant to authority. We all are, to a certain extent. But some think there's a better way to do this. That's kind of our mindset. That's not necessarily a good thing. The Bible says, whosoever resisteth the authority resisteth the ordinance of God. And we don't have to like that the Bible says that. We don't have to agree with it. I mean, I guess we have the right to disagree, but that's what the Bible says. We do need to submit. We are resisting the ordinances of God. Now, ordinance of God. So, front row here. I'm gonna just put you on the spot. Son of Jerry. Remember, you're Austin, not Austin. What's your name? Patrick. If God was here right now, and he would tell you to run as fast as you can over to the church house and bring a glass of water for your friend George. Is that George? Would you do that? Would you run as, if God would tell you to do that? If God would write a letter to you and tell you to do that, would you do that? All right? So if God would write a letter telling you that you're supposed to do what your parents tell you to do, would you do that? All right, good. Because many of us don't. Even though the Bible tells us that we should listen to our authorities, we sometimes say, well, no. But when God writes it and says it, it's the same as if, and he gives that authority. It's like him saying it. So I'm just saying we need to have a good concept of authority. That we don't just think I can make up my own mind on the these things. We have to have a good concept. Now listen, listen to this. Obedience is required. However, blind, unthinking obedience is not necessarily to be recommended, especially when you get into, to be commended, especially when you get into youth. There's a lot of things you don't understand, but you blindly go ahead and do it just because that's what to do, and you have no idea. That is blind and unthinking. You need to find out why. You need to, and I don't mean challenge. I don't mean go to your authorities and say, why are we doing this kind of thing anyway? This doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going and saying, look, we do this. Why? To know why. And if you do that in the right way, you will get a good answer, or you'll make your authorities think, well, why are we doing this? If you go up belligerently like that, all that will happen is they'll say, you're out of your place. Be quiet and do what you're told. But if you say, look, and there's good for that. There's good reasons for that, because when you understand why things are being done, you understand the principle. So this is, you understand the principle behind why you're doing what you're doing. And then when you go into a different setting, a different country, a different place, a different thing where, well, we can't. Really do it like this over there. It doesn't work. But we understand the principle, so we still find a way that we're going to carry that principle. But if you don't understand what you're doing, you have no real foundation to continue practicing the principle in that way. That by no means, misunderstand me, that by no means means that you have to understand before you obey. Obedience should go along. Obedience will help you understand. But you do need to ask the questions if there's something that you don't understand. So learn how to do that. Learn how to ask questions that will help you understand. Think about authority. There's more about that. There's something else. Being in authority and under authority, being under authority, are two sides of the same coin, okay? You know when you have a shilling or a dollar, or you don't have dollar coins here, you don't have shillings, quarters. So if you have a quarter, it has a heads and a tails, it has two sides. So on one side, it's being under authority. That's your parents are over you, your teachers are over you, your pastors are over you, the government is over you. That's one side of it. That's you're under authority. The other side is where you are authority. Now who here doesn't have some kind of authority? Everybody here has some kind of authority over something. Maybe it's the cat and the dog, or but you do. You have some authority. You know what that means? And I'm going to explain that. You know what that means? That means that you have been given the responsibility for the well-being of your cat and your dog, or if you're a parent, your children. That's what authority means. It doesn't mean that you get to just say how it goes and what happens and all of that. That's not what it means. It means that you have been given a responsibility for the well-being of these people, or these things. That's why having a right concept of authority is so important, whether it's authority over here or whether we are in authority. It's really important to have that right concept. It is a foundational. It's time to stop, and we hit two out of the. We'll move along here quickly. I want to say this yet. Don't cower before your authorities. Don't Yeah, don't cower before them. You've seen people cower before their authorities. And when they get ready, they expect people to cower before them, under them, because they're too position conscious instead of being responsibility conscious. So are you following what I'm saying? When you don't be afraid of your authority. Don't cower and just like that. They're supposed to have a relationship with you. And have that concept, because when you're getting a place of authority, you want to have a relationship with the people that you're responsible for. That's important. Experience and person in a place of authority, and age is not a factor. What a fool I would be if I was, all right, so I don't know much about technology. My phone, if it gives me trouble, I have to get some help. Suppose that, and probably any 12-year-old could do better than I can, and so I'd say, he's telling me try how to fix my phone, and I say, look, I'm 60, you're 12. I'm not 60, not quite, but I'm 60, you're 12, you are, what do you know? That's foolish of me. You'd say he doesn't know much. It's 2025. They're living in the past, like generations ago. Their minds are back there. They have no idea. That's not any more smart. It really is. It's an experience. It has nothing to do with really with age. It just, old people know some things. All right. Let's go over these things quickly. Take responsibility. Watch ye, then stand fast, acquit you like men. Be strong. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Going on with that. So life is not easy. It's not a simple stroll through the fescue field. Load for each of us to carry. It is a load for you to carry. I don't care if you're 16 or 12 or 28. Or if you're married or you're not married, every person has some responsibility, and to pick that up is sooner rather than later is good. There's a burden for you to bear, and so just get over the idea that somehow you deserve to have an easy life and somebody else has to do the hard stuff. Be a man. Your response as a man. Your responsibilities as a brother in the church. Take your place, not to replace or to displace. But take your place. Take some load off your parents. Think about it. How could you take some load off of your parents? They're not your servants. They're not your servants. They're your parents. They're there to provide for you, but they're not your servants to run around at your beck and call. Don't be a victim. Look around you to help somebody else rather than looking around for how somebody can help me. Thank you for feeling the responsibility to attend the Bethel Fellowship meetings. I'm glad you're here. And maybe because you wanted to be here. I believe it's a responsibility. Don't only think of what you can get, but what you can contribute. Look out for others. You know, what's to mind their own, but there is such a thing as minding your own business too much and not really noticing what's going on around you and lending a helping hand. Now, last point on responsibility. It's very important. Own your mistakes. Be responsible for what you do. And when you make a mistake, say, it's mine. I did it. And I'll learn from it. You know, we can learn so many things from our mistakes if we own them. If we say, yes, I did. That was my mistake. Let's turn the time over to Aaron for us, or whatever he wants to do, and then we'll continue.